5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Sports Hour. Listening to WNYO Sports Hour with your hosts, Aaron Valentino and Brandon Lapp.
It is Monday and I can't hear the music in the studio because the headphones are off, so it's dead silent in here right now. It honestly feels pretty weird. But this is Sports Hour on a Monday. Aaron Valentino, Brandon Ladd with you on this Monday afternoon. Brandon, I was really scared there for a moment when I pressed the buttons on the board. I'm just so not used to it. This is what you experience every day when
it
I press the mics on.
I kind of just ride blind.
Yeah, you just kind of ride. It does feel like I'm riding blind. Anybody on eBoard, if you're listening, the headphones are broken in the studio. There's no sound.
Head honcho has been informed.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Good. Glad that we got that out of the way. Before we get, there is a lot to get to today. And before we, God, it just feels so weird not. Like hearing everything. All right, before we get to everything we have to do today, joining us in the studio doing some shadowing hours today is our friend Jason Samsel. Jason, how are we feeling on this Monday afternoon?
Feeling great. Sports are back. Football's back. I'm excited.
Yeah, football is back, and there's a lot to get to football-wise. The Mets and Yankees had a big Subway Series this weekend on the 20th anniversary of 9/11. There is so much to get to and so little time to do it. Let's not waste any time. We're going to start with the Subway Series. The Mets beat the Yankees in the Subway Series this weekend 2-1, and overall in the season series by a game score of 4-2. And, Brandon, we'll start with you. The Mets really, I mean, Friday they put on a show, and last night they were determined. Well, one man was determined to win that game, and his name was Francisco Lindor.
Yeah, and I mean, it was all Lindor last night with the 3 home runs. You just don't see that ever. And it came on the biggest of stages on Sunday Night Baseball. And the Mets get 2 of 3 in the series, but it felt so much more than that. It seems like the Mets have unbelievable momentum and belief after this series.
Yeah, I mean, that game last night, Jason, I don't know if you saw it, but it was absolutely electric. And Lindor, as you know, Yankee fans like to say, Lindor earned his orange and blue pinstripes last night.
No, absolutely. And games have meant so much, not just to baseball fans, but to people around the world. I mean, this was, you know, obviously a special day, a somber day, I mean, on Saturday, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, the Yankees, you know, certainly have momentum going into this, and you know, it just means a lot. You know, obviously, as we're going on the back half of the schedule here, it'll mean a lot for playoff times as well.
Yeah, both teams looking to build a little bit momentum. Yankees, it feels like everything has kind of stopped for them lately, lad. And it was more of the same over in this series. We thought maybe last night, Giancarlo Stanton with a big home run, maybe they could pull it out. But once again, it was Francisco Lindor with 3 home runs last night, including the final home run in the bottom of the 8th inning to get it done. The Yankees, I mean, they're out of the playoffs. If the playoffs started today, they would not be there at the moment.
They would not, and it's getting a bit worrisome. Yeah, it's just getting a bit worrisome. It brings the mood down a bit if you're a Yankees fan. And they're losing 5-0 to the Twins right now,
so that's something to get into
as well. As you saw me open that score and put my hands up to my face. I must say this about the Yankees, though. They didn't play an awful series.
I don't think they played an awful series either.
Okay might even be a weak word. I felt like they played pretty good. The Mets were just the better team this weekend, and the Mets had the home crowd, so that helped them even more. So if you're the Yankees, just keep going. But you're right. They'd be out of the playoffs right now, and it's not looking too good.
Yankees currently sit at 79-64. They've won 2 of their last 10. They're 1 game back of Boston for the second wild card spot. Boston 81-64. The Blue Jays, they currently sit atop. They're technically tied with Boston, but in terms of winning percentage, theirs is better. They're 80-63. Boston 81-64. And if you're the New York Mets, well, the wild card race just got a whole lot more interesting. The Mets currently sit at 72-72, 3 games back of the wild card. They've won 5 of their last 10, so 5-5 in their last 10 games. And they play a team that's directly in front of them tonight in the St. Louis Cardinals, who currently sit at 73-69, just a game back of the Reds and Padres for the wild card. In terms of the division, I don't know. It kind of seems like the Braves are pulling away here, Sam. The Braves currently sit at 76-66. The Phillies are behind them at 72-71. The Phillies are 4.5 back. Mets sit at 5 back. Sam.
Jason.
Jason. Jason, Sam. I know.
Oh, my goodness.
I was wondering what you're talking about.
Literally, I just like, you know, I get so many emails throughout the day and meeting so many different people that I just like think of the first name that like can come to my head. Jason, your last name is Samsel. That's why I was thinking
that's
of that.
Yeah.
Yes, no, that's exactly right.
I thought you guys were just best friends, just nickname basis.
Just nickname.
On a nickname basis
right
now.
Okay. Jason, Mets, it kind of seems like the division's a little bit far away, 5 games back.
It's a tough division that they're in, obviously, first off. But the Mets, it's starting to get away from them. I would say, yeah, definitely. It's they're in a tough spot right now. Obviously, I forget who they're playing right now.
The Yankees are playing right now. Mets play tonight. Oh, it's 7 against the Cardinals.
No, you're good. You're good. Yeah, it's a tough division. Obviously, you know, 5 games back. It's not a spot you want to be in, obviously. But you know, you just gotta keep grinding it out. You know, trying to keep staying alive right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And to move on from the baseball, we have a lot more to get into with the Subway Series, believe me. But football returned this weekend. The Bills, they lose by a final score of 23-16 over the fraud Steelers. Lad, I can't even believe that this happened. Josh Allen threw the ball 50 times in this one and wasn't able to make anything happen.
Yeah, this Bills team was exposed for what they are, and that's a one-dimensional football team. One-dimensional football teams can win good against good teams, but you're not going to win all the time against playoff teams. I fully believe the Steelers are a playoff team if their offense gets going a bit this year. And the Bills got exposed. It's a tough first game. It's a tough first opponent. Not everybody had to face that. But still, when you throw the ball 51 times and you have a QBR of 40.7, it's not going to go your way.
No, it absolutely isn't, Jason. I mean, the Steelers just looked like a great team. They got that big punt block and the score on the touchdown. The Bills, just like the Jets and Giants, they start the year 0-1.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a, you know, obviously I think I feel more comfortable with the Bills situation right now because they have an overall better team right now. But, it's tough. I mean, they were going up against a good defense in the Steelers. Obviously, T.J. Watt, best defender, arguably the best defender in the NFL. But, yeah, Josh Allen was just surprisingly disappointing. I mean, yeah, throw the ball 51 times, only complete 30 passes. You know, 270 yards, not bad, but yeah, you got to get more production out of your wide receivers. Stephon Diggs only had 69 yards for the whole game. That's not great. And didn't have a single touchdown. Same with Cole Beasley, didn't have a single touchdown. So it was disappointing overall. A shocker, obviously.
Yeah, no, obviously. A little bit of a shocker. Steelers, you know, they're an all right team. I think they're the biggest frauds, though, in the NFL, especially after last year. Bills take a loss 23-16. You want to say something?
But we might not be in fraud time. They started last year 8-0. Might be in the real time right now, and then it turns into fraud time. So we don't know how their season's going
to
play out.
That is fair. Giants lose by a final score of 27-13. Sam, they are arguably, and I don't even know if it's arguably, they looked like the worst New York football team out there this week. I'm not saying they are overall. I think overall the Jets are probably a worse team than them. But this week they looked pretty horrendous. Jason.
Okay.
I said Sam again because I'm reading Samsel on the rundown instead of Jason, and it, you know, my mind is just going in 50 different directions.
No, you're good, man. Obviously, I mean, it's tough. The, you know, not a good start for New York just in general, but the Giants, they're only scoring 13 points. Saquon Barkley only had 26 yards rushing, which was a big shocker for me.
Yeah.
I was looking for a big night for him, big game for him. But, obviously he's returned from injury as well, so it's a tough situation for him. But, yeah, this Giants team was shocking. I thought it would be a closer game than it was against the Broncos. Not a great Broncos team as well.
No, not a great Broncos team. Jets lose by a final score of 19-14. Sam Darnold gets his revenge. They're going to lose Mekhi Becton for the next 4 to 5 weeks with a popped out kneecap, which is just so devastating. And finally, Syracuse loses to Rutgers by a final score of 14-7 on Saturday. Lad and I are going to talk about that one a little bit later. We were there and we watched it. We
witnessed it.
It was pretty disgraceful. game of football, if you ask me. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got a lot to talk about. Is Francisco Lindor really a Met? Are the Yankees on their way? Can they get back in the postseason race? And the Mets, what are we looking at here, the wild card or the division? Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. I can't hear the Olivia Rodrigo music because the headphones still aren't working. But good for you, lad. Finally in the system. We've waited so long for good for you to finally be in the system, and here we are now. We can finally play it on the show.
Yes, one clap for Sky Hosford.
Yeah, one clap. One clap for Sky Hosford. Aaron Valentino, Brandon Ladd, and Jason Samsel here with you on Sports Hour today. We've got some football to get to, some baseball to get to, which we're going to get to right now. But I had to shout out Sky Hosford for getting good for you in the system. Was very excited on Friday when she informed me about good for you finally being in the system. Brutal also in there as well, which is just a great thing overall. Let's get into the Subway Series and you know, kind of talk about everything that happened this weekend. There's just so much to unpack here over the next couple minutes. Both these teams in a playoff race. Both these teams not, you know, necessarily playing their best baseball. Mets haven't really played their best baseball year. They're a 500 baseball team. Yankees come into it struggling, but both teams, you know, still in this race. It's the 20th year anniversary of 9/11, and of course we all know, it was talked about all weekend, what these two teams not only did for the city of New York, but for the entire country as well, you know, after the unfortunate events of September 11th. And Saturday, Brandon, I felt they did a great job with the pregame ceremonies. I thought the Mets uniforms were fantastic. I really thought the whole weekend, both the Mets and the Yankees, because I'm like 99% sure it was a collaborative effort, did a great job.
I completely agree. Great job by MLB making this happen on the schedule. We've already had that conversation. And I honestly feel that just the emotion of the moment made this series even better, if that's possible. I think we got the best of both teams, and that makes it even more special. And it was very even all series. And the jerseys, just the aesthetic of it all. I know the Mets won the jersey battle, if you ask anybody, but still, it was a special night. Both teams, New York on the front of their jerseys, and the hats, NYPD and FDNY.
Yeah, I love that. I love that touch, the hats. That was really special. It just it meant a lot to a lot of people. Obviously, we're all New Yorkers, so it meant a lot to us. But yeah, it was a good game. It was a really good game. You know, obviously the Yankees got off to a great start, but Mets started to come back, and it was just a really great game and a great atmosphere overall in New York, which made it even better.
Yeah. Obviously. Oh, an absolutely fantastic atmosphere all over the weekend. The players constantly kept saying that, you know, it was like a playoff atmosphere at Citi Field this weekend, which is always great. You want to see it. Now, on Friday, there's not much to talk about. The Mets took the Yankees and batted them around like, you know, something that gets batted around. The Mets won by a final score of 10-3, and it looked like we were going to head into the rest of the series with pretty good momentum for the New York Mets. Then on Saturday, September 11th itself, this game was broadcasted on Fox. Tons of pregame ceremonies. Mike Piazza was there. Bobby Valentine and Joe Torre throughout the first pitch. Like we just said, just an absolutely fantastic, you know, pregame. And then the game, arguably, was even better. The New York Yankees went up 5-0 early on. The Mets started to come back. Taijuan Walker, after letting up the 5 runs, really started to settle down. Aaron Judge with 3 RBIs in this one, along with Brett Gardner with a homer of his own, you know, to score some runs. And the game was really just kind of back and forth the entire time. James McCann had 3 RBIs in this one. He was great the entire weekend, Jason. This game, though, it was a 3-hour, 58-minute marathon. Both teams desperately wanted to win. Both teams had opportunities, and in the end, the Yankees kind of took it.
No, yeah, it felt like it really did feel like a playoff game all around. You know, just from the play and the atmosphere overall in the stadium, it was really evenly matched. I felt like, and especially it was a good bounce back. It was a really good bounce back for the Yankees, who, you know, obviously we saw them got shut out basically 10-3, and Yeah, it was a good overall atmosphere and a really great series, you know, Saturday and Sunday. Sunday's game was really good as well, so.
Jason, you raise a great point there because it's not easy to come back after losing 10-3, and it's even harder once you're up 5-0 and you blow that lead, and that just slowly drifted away from them throughout this game, second to the seventh inning. And then Judge gets the home run. Nobody was going to beat Judge on a Saturday night, and I that's honestly how I feel. And then there was the error in the eighth.
By Javi Baez, right?
Yes, and I don't know. Blame on Baez? I don't know.
But, blame it on the runner running into his knee. You know, blame it whatever you want.
It was a questionable play, but the Yankees take advantage of it. Chapman comes in. I held on for dear life, and the Yankees walk away 8-7.
It was really Trevor May who did the big damage in this one. Yeah, Taiwan Walker, sure, he let up 5 runs, but he settled down after a while and battled. I know, you know, Mets fans like to make fun of that word because of Mickey Cowley, but he really did battle through 6 innings of pretty well-pitched baseball. Trevor May didn't get an out. he came in, he let up 3 hits, let up a home run that gave the Yankees the lead, didn't get an out, and Aaron Loop had to come in and save him before the Yankees finally took it 8-7. And, you know, it would have been nice for the Mets, I think, to win this game just because, you know, the Braves had won on Friday. The Mets had won on Friday. Thank God for the Mets that the Braves lost. Their goose wasn't cooked. They're creeping back into the wild card race now, 3 games back. And it all came down to Sunday Night Baseball. And before we even get into what happened, Brandon, this might be the greatest, not only Sunday night game of the year, this might be the best game of the year, period.
No, honestly, it is. And again, we talk about the atmosphere. We talk about the aesthetic. You need that. You need a big opportunity to have a game like this unfold. And my goodness, did it unfold. And again, a little back and forth. This time, the Yankees coming back later in the game. It was a Stanton bomb in the seventh.
Bomb.
443 that tied it 6-6. Got a Santa Maria from Vashgersian. That's the earliest in a game. I think we've gotten that. And then Lindor was the hero. It was just a back and forth. It was a great game. And it leaves a better taste in the Mets' mouth than it leaves in the Yankees' mouth. And I know we need to get into what happened during the seventh inning.
Yeah, there is a lot to get to in this one. And, you know, again, first off, Cookie Carrasco comes in. He's had first inning struggles all year, lets up 2 runs. The Mets are able to steal one back. And then in the second, Francisco Lindor comes up big time, his first homer of the game to give them, you know, a 4-2 lead. And this one was all Francisco Lindor. 3 home runs in this one. 3 home runs, 5 RBIs in this game. He hit the game-winning home run. He was, you know, he was at the center of attention. And, you know, before we get into why, like, that's just such a big thing, let's do get into what happened in that seventh inning. Well, really, when Lindor hit the second home run in the sixth, was it the sixth or
the sixth? Yeah.
It was the sixth inning, yeah. When Lindor hit the home run in the sixth, he looked at the Yankees dugout and like pretended to whistle. Now it is allegedly reported by Buster Olney and Marley Rivera that the Yankees were whistling on Saturday night whenever Walker was throwing specific pitches, and you know there was some things going around. Jonathan Villar in particular thought that the Yankees were, you know, were sign stealing and cheating, which sign stealing is technically legal.
Yes.
And I think if that you can pick up on it from the dugout, I think the pitcher's clearly doing something wrong.
Yes.
But as Lindor said in the press conference, and as Michael Jordan said throughout The Last Dance, he took that personally.
he did take that personally. And I must say, this isn't the worst sign stealing we'll ever see.
No,
and I'm sure we'll forget about it in a couple weeks, except for when the Mets play the Yankees again next year. But still, it got Lindor going. I love how you put that. He took it personal, and I think he convinced the rest of that team to take it personal, and they took it personal.
So when Stan hit the home run in the seventh, Stan came around and said some choice words.
I've never seen that.
He came to a halt at shortstop and had some, let's just say, choice words for Francisco Lindor after tying the game. And the bench is cleared, Jason. Like, we've never, like, Has the benches ever cleared in a... No, yes, that's
well,
totally
yes.
false.
Roger Clemens, Clemens threw a bat at Mike Piazza.
Yes.
Yes.
That was bad.
Yeah, I wasn't alive. But, Jason, this is exactly, in my opinion, what the Subway Series should be all about. These two teams should not like each other. They should absolutely hate each other and want to go after each other all the time. Lindor and Baez were yapping. Brett Gardner would look like he was ready to come out with a wooden club and smack somebody around. I mean, Jason, this is the exact atmosphere that I want for
exactly,
the Subway Series.
Exactly. And, you know, obviously we had the somber moments on Saturday, but and then it was just... It was sort of cool, you know, to see us all come together Saturday and then Sunday, you know, picking at each other's teeth. It was obviously, you know, yeah, as you said, yeah, for the Mets, you know, to see see Lindor, you know, taking that personally, it really fired up the team. Obviously, three home runs, that's what you want to see out of your star, and it gives them momentum, obviously. They're still in a wild card position, so it was great to see the atmosphere coming back. It felt like a playoff game. Both teams are still in it. In the playoff race, so it was really great overall atmosphere, and just to see Yankees and Mets rivalry going back at it was great to see, and great to sort of bring it back, you know, during this pandemic, you know, obviously to see baseball returning back to some normalcy is great to see.
And this was Lindor getting back to who he was. There's two names that give me chills whenever they come out of Joe Buck or Matt Vasgersian's mouth at a high volume, and that's Altuve or Lindor. And three more times last night, I got a Lindor that brought chills down my spine.
And Francisco Lindor, he comes up in the bottom of the eighth inning. He hits the third home run. A-Rod, like...
Oh, just lost his mind.
Yeah, just lost his mind. Like, it was so, like... Oh my God! Like, it was like a movie. It was like watching a scene from a movie. Like seeing that and what happened. Mets end up going on to win this one. Edwin Diaz really didn't make it easy. Giancarlo Stanton got up again with two runners on, and I've seen Giancarlo Stanton ruin some dreams at Citi Field a lot.
I didn't realize how many home runs he had there.
There were, as Kevin was saying to me on Saturday, and it really is true, there was a time where every single time Giancarlo Stanton stepped in the box at Citi Field, it was going over the apple. Like, the ball was going to go 500 feet. It didn't matter where you threw it. It didn't matter how fast or how slow. The ball was going to leave the yard, and you just knew that the Mets were going to lose. Which is why I was very happy to see him leave Miami, because It was just every time he came up. But, you know, with that being said, the Mets do win this one. And, you know, this game just, it just has so much meaning to me for so many reasons. Like, you know, I remember being a little kid and hating the Yankees. I hated Cano. I hated Teixeira. I hated A-Rod. Still hate A-Rod to this day. I hated that whole team. I hated them even when they, you know, when they weren't going to the World Series, when they weren't winning pennants. I still hated them. And, you know, as I got older, the hate has, you know, drifted off. I actually think Aaron Judge, when he's healthy, is like one of the greatest baseball players I've ever seen in my entire life. And I think they have a great lineup. I don't like Aaron Boone, but,
no.
You know, but the second reason is, you know, this is supposed to be a big year for the Mets. And, you know, it hasn't gone exactly the way I think Mets fans or anybody envisioned, Steve Cohen in particular. But to get away from the Wilpons, to have those people leave the organization entirely, the people who have, you know, broken so many hearts over the years, done so many wrong things over the years, and just caused, like, not even pain, forget the fans, caused pain for their people in their organization, their players, their coaching staff, for people to do so many things wrong and see those people leave. And then to trade for Francisco Lindor, a perennial superstar, somebody who plays the game the right way, somebody who is universally loved across the sport, to have him come here and to commit to the New York Mets is something that we've never seen before on this scale. David Wright was homegrown, and I think the only other comparison to Lindor, there's two. It's Mike Piazza, and it's Carlos Beltran. And, you know, for him to have this year, it's not great. It's better than everyone says it is, but we don't have to get into it. But for him not to have the best year of his career, and he'll tell you the exact same thing, but to do the things that he did last night on this stage, in this city, with this team. Like, I was in tears going to bed last night, because it's just, Brandon, it's just everything I've wanted my entire life as a Mets fan is that type of player doing these types of things on this team.
Yeah, and you need players like that for moments like that. And I think 2 years ago, Mets wouldn't have been in the Yankees category for the amount of stars that could come out on Saturday or Sunday.
The thought of trading for Francisco Lindor was full. Yes. Forget Javi Baez for a second.
Yes.
The thought of trading for Francisco Lindor was, you know, not a question. It wasn't even a thought. There was no way they would be able to do that.
And now you look at it, there's stars on both sides.
Oh, yeah.
And you can finally admit that. And I don't know. Like, this might have came out of nowhere for some. Starting to kind of agree with you, and if you think of Lindor as a star, this is usually when stars come out.
Yeah, this is exactly when stars come out. And Jason, it was just, you know, the atmosphere, you know, when he hit the third home run, the place nearly fell down. I mean, it was just such an awesome sight to see.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And you know, for Lindor, it's great to see that they're having some momentum finally for the Mets. You know what I mean? They're building some momentum. Their star is hit three home runs. I mean, that's a great sign to see. And, you can finally feel some hope within the Mets organization for once. I think it's been lacking for a while.
Yeah. In my opinion, this is exactly what the Subway Series is all about. This is exactly what it's supposed to be. But with all that being said, with all the emotions out of the way, these two teams are not going to see each other. If they see each other again in 2021,
a miracle happens.
But they'll both be in the 2021 World Series. The Mets currently sit 5 games back of the division. The Phillies are 4.5 back of the Braves. The Braves are 76-66. The wild card out of nowhere. I mean, you know, numbers wise, it looks way better. They're 3 games back, but there's 4 teams in front of them at the moment. But here's the thing: over their next 6 games, the Mets are going to play 2 out of the 4 teams in front of them. And that, of course, is the Phillies and the St. Louis Cardinals. They start their series against the Cardinals tonight. And San Diego this week is going into a 3-game set against the San Francisco Giants starting tonight. It looks good. The Mets kind of control their own destiny here, Jason. You have to keep the momentum going.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, going up against the Cardinals, Phillies, I mean, these are two winnable teams, winnable series right here. And, this is going to determine who's in the wild card. As you said, you know, San Diego going up against San Francisco, that's good. You know, San Francisco has been a monster team all year. You'd expect the Giants to win that series. The Mets control their own destiny now. I mean, the Cardinals, solid team, 73 wins right now. So they have a chance to really catapult themselves in that wild card spot. But it's going to be tough, obviously. It's not going to be an easy feat to do, but I think the Mets have the momentum right now. They have the confidence that we've seen. It should be an interesting series, but they control their own destiny. I think that's what the ultimate message is right now.
And for the Mets, they got over the first hurdle, because I think in the back of your mind, and a lot of people probably around New York and baseball thought this, that this could be another one of those series where the Yankees just big brothered the Mets, beat them all 3 games, and the Mets season would be over. The Mets cleared this hurdle. Now they keep going. Cardinals and Phillies are the next one. And the Padres have a menacing series against San Francisco, which only helps them. But Aaron, I bring up this point. It's a bit counterintuitive. I honestly feel the division might be more in play than the wild card just because of those last 3 games of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is you just have to rely on the Braves to lose, and the Braves doesn't look like they're going to lose. And 5 games is a lot to make up in 17 days, 17 games. So I guess we'll see. And the road is not easy ahead for the Mets. I mean, the Cardinals and Phillies, yeah, they're winnable games, but they're games that the Mets have lost so many times this year that you just don't know if they can move forward or make an impact in those games. All you can do is hope. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it was week 1 of the NFL season, and oh boy, it did not go well for any of the 3 New York football teams. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network.
It's brutal out here.
Welcome back to Sports Hour right here on WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. And as Olivia Rodrigo says, for the New York football teams this weekend, Brandon and Jason, it's brutal out here. Welcome back to Sports Hour. Aaron Valentino, Brandon Ladd, and Jason Samsel here with you on this Monday. It was week 1 of the NFL season, and all 3 New York teams managed to lose. All of them are 0-1 to start the season. And, you know, it like the Jets and Giants, you knew you were going to see ugly football this year. You knew it. You knew what you were getting into when you signed up. The Bills, not a great game to start the year with them. And, you know, Jason, we'll start with them. I think the biggest takeaway from this game is, and we talked about this on Thursday in our NFL Week 1 preview, is that Josh Allen, you know, threw the ball 50 times. They don't really have a running game, and it was exploited in this one. He threw the ball 50 times, and it resulted in a Bills loss.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one thing that's lacked in Josh Allen's game is that running game. But, yeah, I mean, he's a gunslinger. You know, he's gonna go down and throw the ball a lot. But, yeah, I think this is just sort of a little hiccup in him. This might be a down year for Josh Allen. I mean, I think he's going to do okay, but he might bounce back. But he's 25 years old. I think it's important to remember it's his fourth year in the league. You know, you can't expect, you know, a guy to keep going up every single year. So it might be a downward year for him. But, yeah, obviously it was a disappointment from the Bills side.
And that's fascinating to me, the point you bring up, because, Aaron, I got to throw these numbers off of you. So the QBRs all 4 years, 49.8, 49.4, 76.6, 40.7. So was last year like, it's a fair point to raise.
Wait, where is the QBR?
All the way to the right.
His QBR was only 76.6 last year?
It looked better on the eyes than it did on paper.
And you all wanted this man to win the MVP? I mean, everybody
and
their mother.
We lost our minds for a little bit.
Everybody and their mother told me that this man was the MVP, and it wasn't even close. I mean, he threw for 4,500 yards, which is, you know, fair enough. He threw for 37 touchdowns, which is ridiculous. But a 76 point, I didn't know that.
I didn't either. I thought it would be an 89.
I thought it would be an 89. Yeah, 89, 90, 91. That is crazy. And those first 2 years in the NFL, 49, a QBR of 49 total. In this game on Sunday, a QBR of 40.7. That's pretty crazy. And, you know, again, let's look at why people – I'm sort of saying that tongue-in-cheek when I said, you know, and you all wanted him to win the MVP. He threw for 37 touchdowns and only 10 interceptions.
Yeah,
they had a great season.
There's still an argument to that.
But when you have that much volume, Brandon – that's what happens to things like your QBR. They're not good. They're lower than you could possibly think, 76.6 last season, and you lose some football games because you're just constantly throwing the ball so much, and it happened in game one here of the NFL season.
And it's like a mental approach for these guys because let's look now, Aaron, I'll flash these stats for you. They got 4.7 yards per run yesterday. They just abandon it so early, and once you abandon it, there's no coming back. So I don't know if it's a weekly mindset, they just get so discouraged, because they'll pop off some big runs, but overall it's just they're not comfortable sticking with those 2 to 3 yard runs, and they abandon it so early in games.
Singletary, 11 carries for 72 yards. His longest was 25. He averaged 6.5 yards per carry. Matt Breida and Isaiah McKenzie combined for 5 total carries and how many total yards?
One
total yard. Awesome. Yeah, Jason, this is going to be a big problem for the Bills this season if they can't run the ball. Devin Singletary, who had a good rookie year, not so much of a good year last year. I mean, they're going to kind of need him to step up this year. Josh Allen can't throw the ball 50 times every game. There's no way.
No, you got to have some relief there for him. And obviously, yeah, it's, you know, 269 rushing yards last year for Singletary. It wasn't terrible, but yeah, as you said, I mean, 8 yards last game. Oh, no, 72 yards, I'm sorry, last game. It wasn't great for him. Yeah, they got to figure it out. But Josh Allen, I mean, you know, obviously, Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley, they didn't have incredible games. So it's not a big surprise why, you know, he wasn't successful, because those guys, if those two aren't working, the whole offense basically isn't working. But it's you know, I think the Bills will be okay. You know, Singletary, you know, he's got to bounce back a little bit, but this team, I think overall, is going to be okay. You know, Stephon Diggs, we know what he can do, we know how he can produce, and I think as long as he gets back into his form, they're going to be okay, and they're going to win a couple games.
Well, we talked about on Thursday that, you know, forget Cole Beasley and Emmanuel Sanders. Obviously, they're going to need those two players if they want to go anywhere this season. But the offense lived and died last year by Stephon Diggs. If you could stop Stephon Diggs, you could stop the Bills. And for the Steelers, you know, Stephon Diggs didn't have a bad game. 9 receptions for 69 yards. He had 14 targets overall, no touchdowns. But again, if you can keep the Stephon Diggs to a minimum, I mean, Josh Allen has a really hard time trying to find anyone just because, one, Stephon Diggs is so dynamic on the field, and they got no running game.
No, they don't, and it makes you Diggs happy, and we've seen the Bills struggle immensely when teams are able to slow down Diggs. Even the Jets were able to slow down Diggs for those two games last year. Obviously, the Jets couldn't take advantage of it, but that's a different story.
That's a different story.
But when good teams do that, they can take advantage of it. So that's another worry for the Bills.
Yeah.
Obviously, Cole Beasley is great in the flat and the slant and is a third down weapon, which is special. Different having Emmanuel Sanders as the number three this year. But really, is it that much of a crime to revamp your offense around Singletary? I honestly felt he was that special of a player his rookie year.
Yeah, I thought he was really solid.
Get him 25 touches a game, but instead, it's just Allen running for his life and throwing to Diggs.
Yeah. We'll see what happens with the Bills. They're a good team. They went to the AFC Championship last year, for crying out loud. Just, it was a little discouraging to see them lose to the Steelers week one. Let's go over now to MetLife Stadium. Let's talk about the New York Giants. And Jason, they lost to Teddy Two Gloves this weekend. They arguably looked like the worst team in New York this week. I'm not saying they are, but boy, did they look like it.
Yeah, they have a case running for them, but yeah, it was a disappointment to see. First of all, with the running game, Saquon Barkley, you know, only has 26 yards rushing. That was the biggest shock for me. I thought they would keep this close a little bit because of Barkley and what he provides for him. But, yeah, Daniel Jones, too. I mean, he didn't have a great game as well. I mean, 22 to 37, 267 yards. You know, a touchdown, no interception, not bad. But, yeah, this team's got a – it was a disappointment for sure to see him go against a not a great Denver Bronco team. A Bronco team that nobody really expected to do much this year.
Yeah, nobody expected it at all. And the Broncos and Bridgewater did a great job spreading the wealth. But I think this might be who the Giants are if their secondary doesn't hold up this year and their offensive line doesn't block for Saquon.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing. Saquon just 10 carries for 26 yards overall. The average 2.6 yards per carry, no touchdowns for him. Daniel Jones, 22 of 37. He threw the ball 37 times. I mean, it's not 51, but he threw the ball a ton. No interceptions, which is awesome. The only problem is, Brandon,
he dropped
his kryptonite is fumbling, and he fumbled again.
He did fumble the ball. Not the worst fumble we saw all weekend.
No.
We'll get into that one. But still, he fumbled the ball, and that has been his kryptonite, as you said. And that was a promising drive that would have brought them within six, and it makes it a different game.
We watched this game, and he took off. And literally, like, in my head, I saw it coming. I was like, he's going to drop the ball. And you just hear Jake go, get going, buddy, come on. And he's running towards the defenders. I'm like, he's going to fumble it.
Yes.
And sure enough, the ball comes out, he drops it, and the Giants just in route. And granted, you know, Jason, the Giants O-line did nothing for anybody yesterday. And it was supposed to be improved this year. A lot of New York offensive lines were supposed to be improved this year. It really doesn't look that way so far. And again, you know, if you have no time to do anything or if you have no holes to run through, I mean, what can you do in an offensive setting in the NFL?
Well, exactly. I mean, it's obviously the Giants O-line didn't provide much relief for Barkley and give him much room to run. But, you know, obviously when that happens, you know, Daniel Jones has got to connect on the passes. He's got to, you know, got to get his wide receivers going. And that's, you know, it's a tough situation that the Giants are in right now. It's not looking so great for them, but, you know, obviously it's still early on in the season. We'll see a lot of development going on. They're a younger team, so it's, you know, some promise for them, but it's tough to be in right now.
Yeah, it is a tough spot to be in right now. I think we're going to find out a lot about the Giants on Thursday.
Yes. Giants, they're the Thursday night game this week. They're taking on the football team. No Ryan Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick's going to be out for 5 to 8 weeks with a hip injury. It'll be Taylor Heinicke.
The dangerous Taylor Heinicke.
Who, by the way, I mean, not for nothing, lit it up last year against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yes. So we'll see if he can light it up again against the New York Giants. Really scared for Daniel Jones's life, considering Chase Young is going to come barreling through the Giants' offensive
There's
line.
There's more bad people in that front seven. Yes. We cannot. This yeah. Washington defense is much better than the Broncos.
I mean, to be fair, Von Miller and then Chase Young right after is pretty rough. Yes. But at the same time, like, man, I mean, this is a divisional game, and it's nationally televised. So I'm a little concerned for Daniel Jones' life over on Thursday. And finally, last but certainly least, the New York Jets. Who? I want to say this. They didn't look that bad.
No,
the first half was pretty bad. First half, they didn't look good. But second half, they kept Christian McCaffrey at bay. Zach Wilson looked a little bit better. He looked like he made some adjustments. And at the end of the day, yes, Zach Wilson didn't play well. He made rookie mistakes. I don't think anybody is questioning that. I think he will tell you that himself. But as Brian Rutman famous saying here, at the end of the day, the offensive line looked abysmal on Sunday.
As always.
Yes, and it was supposed to be better. And they looked so bad. You know, the running game was not working, and that's Matt LaFleur's or Mike LaFleur's whole thing. Is the game starts in the trenches. You have to be able to run the ball, and they couldn't. And Zach Wilson had no time to throw.
Yeah, and I mean, they hold McCaffrey to under 100 yards rushing. I guess it doesn't count because he got 89 yards receiving, yes. So it's double trouble. But still, Darnold played a good game, not a great game, and they held him in bay during the second half. The defense made great adjustments, and I think that's the magic of Saleh.
Yeah.
And someone that can motivate his defense, even though they're down 16-0 at half, they did an amazing job holding them to three, and it gave Wilson a chance. Wilson didn't play bad. He was just running for his life, going right a few times, and he had more success than Darnold did in 3 years, as you like to say,
well,
doing that.
I think the thing is, like, you know, we haven't seen a Jets quarterback throw it down the field in so long, and Zach Wilson attempted to do that a couple times. Like, I'll say this, Jason. What the big takeaway I took away is obviously about the offensive line. But this kid, Zach Wilson, he's got a cannon for an arm.
Oh, absolutely. We've seen it in college. And this time as well, I mean, 37 times he attempted to throw the ball, which is good. You want to see a guy develop confidence, have the confidence to throw the ball, and just lay it all out. 258 yards throwing. It had an interception, but it wasn't bad. I mean, he's obviously so young. You know, we can't really critique him too bad. You know, I mean, it's only one game of his first year, so... obviously, he's got room to develop, but it wasn't overall a bad game for Zach Wilson.
I really didn't think it was that bad.
No, I thought it was fine. And, like, we can harp on balance. We're not to that point with the Jets offense. We can nitpick the Bills. Just get yards any way possible.
Get yards.
Yes,
they didn't do that.
No.
And, you know, here's the deal. The core thing of football is you have to get yards to move down the field. And they didn't do that.
No.
Yeah.
Forget balance. You could throw it 71
Forget balance
times.
Just... and scheme. Why don't we get yards?
Yes.
You know, why don't we get yards and score touchdowns? I think that should be the game plan going into Sunday against the Patriots. One last thing I thought was really fascinating. Zach Wilson had never been to an NFL game before yesterday.
Yeah. Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
That is crazy.
I thought that was fascinating. I mean, Mormons, you know. But, yeah.
Yeah, I guess they don't leave Utah.
I guess
but,
they don't leave Utah. Right.
Yeah. Ready for my good news positive nugget on this game?
What?
I think Corey Davis is the best receiver you've had in a decade.
No, yeah. I honestly, I think I agree with you. He might be the best receiver since Antonio Holmes.
Yes,
like,
honestly.
He is. Actually, that's not true. I always forget about the 2015 Jets because they didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah,
it's the best they've had since Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker.
On the back half of their careers, though.
Decker was really... Both of them were really good in 2015.
But Davis might be right up there.
He might be hiding on a
3-14 team, but he's right up there.
No, he's up there for sure. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll end the show, and then Hot Corner coming up at 4. Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Aaron Valentino, Brandon Ladd, and Jason Samsel here with you on this Monday. A couple more minutes to go, and then the Hot Corner coming your way at 4. I only see Gavin and Michael Gross here. I don't see Jake Johnson, so we'll see if Jake makes an appearance. Yeah, it's a little alarming that we don't know where Jake Johnson is.
I do have breaking news.
Oh, yeah? Wait, hold on. I have to play the thing. Wait. Okay.
We can't can't hear it, but we're going to imagine we're hearing it.
Yeah, we're going to imagine we're hearing it.
Okay, breaking news just came into my Gonian email. Fort Ontario becoming a national park.
Wow. That, oh, I thought it was actual sports news.
No, but still, groundbreaking.
Still big news, yeah.
But congratulations to Fort Ontario.
What's the criteria for that? Gross, you would know better than me.
The criteria to be a national park?
Yes.
Oof, listen, all those years of park ranger school, I mean, I forget. I'm not sure. I'm not sure the criteria.
We do have more breaking news.
Breaking news.
Raheem Mostert to the IR with torn cartilage in his knee.
That's
8 weeks.
That will get you.
That'll get you for sure. All right, picks of the week. Well, I really thought Brandon was going to absolutely do terrible in picks of the week last week. I thought he had horrible picks, horrendous picks, actually. And he's somehow beating me 4-3 at the moment. Tonight's game, we got Ravens, Raiders, Monday Night Football. First Monday Night Football game of the year. Steve Levy back on the call for another year. We'll go around the horn here. Gross, we'll start with you. Ravens, Raiders, who are we picking?
I gotta go with the Ravens. I do. I think the away team coming in, big week one for Lamar. Just lost his running back, or all three of them. I think Le'Veon Bell is going to be a big factor coming in. They're going
to
run a
do they sign three, him to the yep, actual roster? They do?
I think so. They're going to run a three running back committee. I mean, Mark Andrews is going to play a big factor on offense, but you still got to give it up for that defense. That defense is still really good. Not to take anything away from Derek Carr and the Raiders, but I'm going to go with the Ravens tonight.
I got the Raiders. I just want to see Benny Thatcher cry.
that would be pretty funny.
I'm going with the Ravens as well. I'm going with the Ravens because, Lamar Jackson, obviously, he has a great running game. Obviously, they're depleted with the running backs, but I think the Ravens have enough there to win, to beat the Raiders, who have the momentum. Obviously, their first home game in the stadium, but I'm going with the Ravens to upset.
The Raiders are at home, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they're in Vegas. Yeah, fans coming into Las Vegas tonight. Baltimore. Yeah, I think it's the first time Baltimore has no running backs whatsoever. I'm going to go with the Raiders tonight. So I got to write that down officially. But I am going to go with the Raiders tonight. Oh, lad, you're also going with the Raiders, right?
So I win week one.
So, yeah, you're going to win week one here. But, you know, last year I was winning all year. And then the last second you came back. And
how much is he up by now? Two?
He's up by one.
So why wouldn't you pick the Ravens?
It's not a weekly competition.
Oh, you got to play the long game. Yeah.
See, I thought if it was a weekly competition, I would have taken the chance.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. And then we would have to explain what a tie is on air again, and we're not doing that.
Yeah, we're not doing that. All right, that is going to do it for today's edition of Sports Hour. Hot Corner coming your way at 4 o'clock. For Brandon Ladd, Jason Samson, I'm Aaron Valentino. We'll see you tomorrow. Hot Corner in just a few minutes.